Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Joining us now on the line from Cherokee County up in the northeasternish part of the state, my pleasure to introduce State Senator Andrew Jones. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for taking time. We do appreciate it. I want to get you out and talk about a few things. I guess more importantly than anything, running for re-election, you're the first of the body to announce officially or formally that you are going to run for re-election. Your district, it can be tough. It wasn't too long ago that was a Democrat district, but you're getting out ahead early here, and then talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Jeff, we just didn't want to take anything for granted. You know, I know a lot of people kind of wait and do stuff later, or, you know, they kind of see, some might be thinking of, moving to a higher office or whatever. You know, I've been set since day one. We're going to run for re-election, and, there are always people that float their name out there, and we wanted to get out early and show that we had support and strength, and we want to do everything that we can to get the ball rolling and just show that we're in it to win it, and we're serious and doing events. We already did one in Etowah County, and we're doing another one Thursday night in Cherokee County for the folks in Cherokee and DeKalb. So I'm just going to come out hard, fast, and swinging, and we're ready to go. It's hard to believe that we're here. Been in office 2.5 years, already time to run for re-election. Just doesn't make any sense, but that's just part of the process.
Well, what are you hearing? What do you talk about on your stump speeches? Because the legislature's been a tricky body. You're 3 years into the quadrennium here, and that early on, right out of the gate, Rebuild Alabama gets done. And then there was an abortion ban, I think was significant. But since then, it's There's been a lot accomplished, but maybe not the big marquee stuff that people talk about a lot in our state politics.
Well, when I ran for this office in 2018, I talked about four key issues, and those who've heard my stump speech know that I hit back on those all the time. They were infrastructure, economic development, education, and Alabama values. And I think significant progress has been made on all of those fronts, and obviously there's still more work yet to do, but you talked about Rebuild Alabama. That's a key part of what I'm telling people. When I ran, I talked about three projects in my district, and the 411 project, the expansion project, was one of the first two Rebuild Alabama projects that was announced, so was very excited about that. The 759 extension there in Gadsden was another project. We recently had a $2 million engineer allocation to engineer where the roadway would be and get all that stuff ironed out. That was announced, and then the third one was the Southside Bridge there, and we've been applying for grants and stuff for that project. We were a finalist last year actually for a federal grant, which would have paid for, I think, half of the cost of the bridge. So we're continuing to improve that grant and bring it back, that application, bring it back this year. So, just kind of letting people know, here's what I said when I announced and when I campaigned, and here's what we've done, and here's what I want to continue to do if you guys give me another opportunity to come back and serve for another 4 years.
Well, I think that 411 project's an interesting one to talk about, because it was kind of one of the hallmarks of Governor Ivey saying she was going to try to make sure all 67 counties in Alabama have four-lane access to the interstate highways. Cherokee County, one of those places maybe a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with, but you, unless you were going to Cherokee County, necessarily not a place anybody from here would just be passing through, but that getting 411 done is really a big boost, and it's a part of a bigger vision that I think the governor has talked about in the infrastructure and getting interstate connectivity.
Yes, that's correct. And, it was one of those projects depending on who you talk to, it's been talked about since the 60s or maybe a little before or a little after. And multiple governors, you know, had talked about it, you know, campaigned when they were up there in the area on it. And for that reason, nobody was going to believe it until they actually saw, you know, the roadway being built. And now they can actually see that it's being built and completed. And so finally we've made some believers out of folks, because it just had been, the can had been kicked down the road for so long. But commend the governor for her leadership on that project, obviously, and excited to play a part in it. And it's going to be a great thing, not just for, you know, the four-lane access, but that is just a major thoroughfare. People coming from, you know, Rome, Georgia, to Gadsden, and vice versa, people commuting from work all the way through there. The congestion and the amount of accidents on that, the 5 mile stretch of two lane highway, it's just been through the roof. So, you know, economic development's a part of it, but also, you know, safety and just managing traffic flow.
Well, tell us, and I think there's something that can be learned, because we talk a lot about road projects in this part of the state that have long been neglected, very similar to 411 in your part of the state. In my time in Huntsville, similarly, there were road projects that the local delegation thought were neglected. This was a significant breakthrough for your part of the state. What was the magic touch, or whatever it is you want to say, that you had to make that become a reality?
I think there were a number of things working in our favor. The first time I ever took the mic, I believe, in the Senate as a freshman, was to propose an amendment to the Joint Transportation Committee legislation, and it was to include, priority for a four-lane access to a county, to the interstate. That was a metric amendment that I added into that bill at my first time at the mic. So we had kind of getting it out there a little bit, and then all of our local leaders and our county commissions and everybody was kind of on the same page on the project. Number two, it was pretty much shovel ready at that point, and then it had been promised for decades and decades. So I think those, you know, things kind of lined up to make it a no-brainer for the governor.
Joined by State Senator Andrew Jones here on the program. But that really a remarkable accomplishment. And I think for that reason, people will probably be good with your vote on Rebuild Alabama. But move on. You're a freshman and, three quarters of the way through the quadrennium. And, you want to come back for more, beyond 2022. But what has really been your takeaway as a state senator, like being a part of that body and seeing how, you know, when I talked to a lot of other freshmen, they're surprised. They had more anticipations about what they could accomplish. But, you know, the methodical nature of the legislative branch is what it is. What are your takeaways from how that was? Is it a surprise to you that this is the way things are done in Montgomery?
To some degree, yes. Where do you want me to begin, Jeff? There are a million takeaways. One is that relationships in Montgomery are everything. If Andrew Jones has a bill for, you know, to help the people of Etowah County, nobody's really going to care about that unless, you know, you have the relationships with the other senators. They know they're going to need your support on local issues, and you're going to need their support. And it's just kind of having that trust and those relationships. On the big ticket items, you know, those are going to get consideration. They're going to get through. But it's on the smaller things that take a lot of work and, no association or lobbying group is really pushing for. Those are where it really takes, you know, your full ability as a state senator to kind of navigate those through the process. And so, you know, you've got to have the relationships. You've got to know where the pitfalls and the traps are. It's often said there are 1,000 ways to kill a bill, but only one way to pass a bill. And that is so true. I've learned, in addition to the relationship factors, you've got to work your, you've got to babysit your bills, for lack of a better word, to kind of navigate them through the process. And that means, you know, kind of trying to head off, issues at the front, through talking with, people, you know, associations, entities that might be affected by your legislation. So it really, you know, it takes your full attention to do it right.
Yeah, well, and you know, kind of getting, like, I feel like for the first time for me personally is understanding how everything kind of works together. And, you know, you still have a level of tribalism in the state politically, but watching how you guys kind of come together to work in the Senate, more so than the House, but the Senate really kind of works in concert. And it's not just Republicans, even though you have a supermajority, that the Senate as a body, Republicans and Democrats, kind of on the same page on a lot of things, it seems.
You know, I would say that by and large, the overwhelming, you know, probably 80-90% of our votes are pretty non-controversial and close to unanimous in a lot of situations. You know, we're really not polarized to the level that, you know, they are in D.C. or, you know, other places. I think we do a good job in the Senate of working together where we can, and then when we know we're going to be on opposite sides, we just accept that and kind of work through it and move on as best we can. But I really credit our leadership team, you know, Pro Tem Greg Reed and Majority Leader Clay Schofield and, you know, former Pro Tem Del Marsh, really, you know, they have those relationships across the aisle. And that's one thing I've tried to focus on during my time in the Senate, to make sure that, you know, I get to know the folks on the other side of the aisle and work with them where I can, because, you know, there'll be times we disagree, but it's important that where we can agree that we all work together and keep the trains running on time.
What now that you're running for re-election and you know, I think you, like you said, you got a lot to run on in your 3 or 2.5 years there in office. But what are you hearing from folks? Is it when you're on the campaign trail? You've already done a couple of events. When they ask you questions, are you talking to them one on one? What seems to be coming up a lot?
Well, you know, we had a huge local fight, which we've covered here on your program before, on the rendering plant in Etowah County. That's still going on. That's probably been the big issue in Etowah County. Cherokee County folks, you know, 411 was the big thing. And so that now that that's addressed, you know, we're looking at other things, you know, the legal fight with Georgia over the water quality in the lake and those kind of things. That the lake is, Weiss Lake is central to the economy of Cherokee County. So you hear a lot of different things. You know, a lot of people have been pleased with, the pro-life legislation, the legislation to help, you know, continue improving education in the state. Folks have been happy with, you know, some of the progress that we've made. And, I always did hear about the lottery, you know, vote. And I guess I'll keep hearing about it since we didn't get to, send that out for the people to vote on. Got it out of the Senate. Of course, your viewers know, your listeners know, it didn't make it out of the House. But I expect I'll hear a lot more about that in the coming days and weeks as well.
And then there's some other hot buttons out there as far as state politics goes. I think this today we're going to find out more about prisons. Obviously, there's going to be a special session for reapportionment later on, maybe not as on the front burner, but very interesting. But, you know, do you think that those are going to come up much in your reelection bid?
You know, the public, I mean, I think they've accepted the prison issue as something that we have to address, but, you know, I don't really get a lot of questions on it. I think people see it as a kind of a necessary evil, you know, that we're going to have to deal with it in some form or fashion. Other than that, you know, really the things that I'm hearing for constituents are, you know, things that we've kind of tried to address in the legislative session, things like election security. You know, those issues are important to the base, you know, getting people back to work, you know, having the labor shortages and those issues have been a big thing for those in the business community. And people were very pleased that the governor decided to, you know, decline those additional federal benefits to get people back to work. Those are the kinds of things I'm hearing, you know, concerns about the supply chain and, you know, people in construction and those kind of industries, not just with the labor, but also with the supply chain side of things. So that's kind of what I'm hearing. A lot of that, you know, are going to end up being federal issues, you know, more so than the state, but we'll obviously do whatever we can to help mitigate those things here in the state.
And finally, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned the rendering facility there. Obviously, chicken processing, not exactly the cleanest of businesses, not something a lot of people want in their backyard. But that rendering plant, whatever happened with that? Can you give us an update?
Yes. Yeah, so we're in the middle of a legal fight right now. And there have been a lot of documents received through information requests. And a lot of those are having to go through the court process right now. The bill that I had, of course, made it out of the Senate. Wasn't easy. Took a 4-hour filibuster and 3 separate considerations to get it out of the Senate. But we managed to do that. It did not make it out of the House, you know, in part because our delegation was not 100% united on that front. But to me, Jeff, you know, when you've got 9,000 people in, you know, that are opposed to something, and then you've got 7 city councilmen and a mayor on the other side that are for it, I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, I'm going to always side, you know, maybe, you know, call me crazy, but I'm not going to side with the politicos. I'm going to side with the people. You know, if even if I didn't have an opinion, but obviously I do, and the opinion is that we don't need that in Etowah County, and so I've embraced that and continuing to help those folks, and it's in court now, so we're just going to keep fighting on as many fronts as we can and take it from there.
Senator, we're up against the break here. We got to leave it there. But thanks for making time for us.
Happy to do it, Jeff, as always.
All right, State Senator Andrew Jones running for re-election up in the northeastern part of the state. Had to get him on, talk about that. But we got to get a break in. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poole Show at Talk 106.5.
Sweet Southern comfort, carry on.